good spirit, good joyful voice of the Lord. I feel like in this situation where it's kind of a one-man show, I've been up here so much for this 8 hours. I guess that's the way it is. You just have to put up with it. My father always told me, stand up, speak up, shut up. That's what I'm going to try to do this morning. I'll be up here for a brief period of time speaking with regard to the theme of the conference. And I kind of title what I teach sometimes. Usually here at the Bible, we're always going to title on it. And I think for our study this morning, I'd like to think of the terms of the title being The Shadow of the Almighty. The Shadow of the Almighty. Now, there's already been a great deal said about our theme for this conference. And what I'm about to teach is maybe a little bit of a circuitous route to additional spiritual nourishment with regard to the theme, spiritual nourishment being one, truth. So, open your Bibles to our theme verse once again, Colossians chapter 2.
Now, on either side of that central section,
There is something that is hid. Something hid before, and there's something hid after. And what is hid is the word that I'm speaking about here, treasure. There is a treasure. That which is hid in the verses before is the riches of wisdom and knowledge. And we've talked about this to a great extent in the last day and a half. The wisdom of knowledge. But there's something else that's hid. And the corresponding part of this structure is found in the third chapter. If you'll turn to the third chapter, verse 3, "For ye are dead," or "ye have died," actually, is a better rendition of it, "for ye have died and your life is hid with Christ." So, on each side of the central section, you have something hid that is a treasure, wisdom and knowledge, and down here, your life. Is there anything else? His treasure. We are His, Christ's inheritance. And so His treasure is hid there as well. Amen. Treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Your life in Christ is hid. Both are intimately related to that mystery, which was also hid in God for ages past. And in the hour to come, we're going to look at both of these, briefly probably at wisdom and knowledge, because so much has been said about that, but then we want to look at your life being hid as well. First, the hidden treasure. The English word for treasure comes from the Greek word thesaurus, T-H-E-S-A-U-R-O-S, thesaurus. And in the Greek, that word has more of the connotation of something laid up, a nest egg, a laying up for tomorrow, something maybe not necessarily of monetary value, nevertheless a treasure. In this case, Paul's talking about wisdom and knowledge. However, whatever it is, it seems to be the essence of a treasure that it be stored or concealed or hid. Therefore, as soon as you start talking about a treasure, it becomes captivating. I think maybe Roger mentioned this. And it's a captivating element that starts to drive people crazy. They start trying to find the treasure. And they're buying maps, and they're going underwater scuba diving, and they're looking for riddles and Geiger counters and everything to find the treasure. There's something about that. But here, the treasure is revealed as to where to find it. It's a simple clue. We see it back in our theme verse, back up to chapter 2, in verses 2 and 3. The simple clue is this: all the riches and treasure of wisdom and knowledge, with understanding and full assurance, is hid in Christ. Don't take this wrong. It is not accurate to deduct or assume from this verse that the treasures of God that are hidden in Christ are exhausted in wisdom and knowledge. There is in Christ riches beyond our wildest imaginations. More treasure than we can comprehend. The riches that are there are unfathomable, unsearchable, and it is beyond the touch of corruption or theft. There is only one way to it, and that's through Christ. However, it must be claimed. A treasure that is not claimed, what? It belongs to the state, it belongs to the crown. And somebody pointed out a verse that I had never seen, I think maybe it was Roger, that the treasures belong to God. So it has to be claimed. If it's not claimed, it's still hidden. It's there. Now here at the Bible Forum, we have at the Bible Forum a very wealthy congregation. You say, how so? Well, I tell them all the time, they don't have a clue as to how wealthy they are with wisdom and knowledge compared to the average Christian in America today. They here at the Bible Forum have claimed the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. Their wealth is beyond, their wealth makes Solomon look like a pauper. They have entered into the church of his body with riches and treasure untold. So the question arises, what are these riches and treasures beyond wisdom and knowledge? I'm going to show you some of them this morning. Turn in your Bibles back to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I still hear some pages turning. I want to make sure everybody's on the same page. It's like our playbook. The team's got to be on the same page. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The riches of his grace. Some of you heard me say, if I got what I deserve, a big sword would come out of heaven and stick me through to the hilt, and an axe would come and chop me in two. That's what I deserve. But I have the riches of his grace.
Amen.
Reminds me of the song I tell you it's coming through. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sins. Riches, treasure. Look over at verse 18 of that first chapter. The eyes of your understanding being lightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The riches of his glory in the saints. We are his inheritance. We, you, are a treasure. You're valuable. You are his treasure. The riches of his glory. That's rich right there.
Amen.
That's rich. Turn over to the second chapter, verse 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. In the ages to come, this is future. The exceeding riches of his grace. Future. Chapter 3, verse 8. Paul says unto me, whom am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given? unsearchable riches, more treasure. Unsearchable. Why is it unsearchable? It's unsearchable to the natural man because things of him are spiritually discerned. And you can't get there with any kind of philosophy, roadmap, Geiger counter. It's not possible. It's unsearchable to the natural man. But to you and me, who believe, it's spiritually discerned. Riches unfathomable. Look at verse 16 of that third chapter. Verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. The riches of his glory. Priceless. And it's something that's granted of prayer that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Answer prayer. Aren't you glad that God doesn't have an answering machine? That he's always there? We can always come boldly before the throne of grace. Why? Because sometimes you need solace at 3 a.m. in the morning. Can you imagine calling up and at the sound, leave your message at the sound of the beep? He's always there, willing to grant riches of his glory as requested in prayer. No answering machine there. The next will be found in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 27. Turn over that over to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we've spoken a lot about the mystery. And I don't know if we need to dwell on that, but it's rich. If you got it, if you claim that treasure, it's a wonderful thing. It's not something that's a mystery, it's a secret, but it's been revealed because you've actually claimed that treasure. Chapter 2, verse 2. Another treasure. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and to all riches of the full assurance of understanding. You know what that's saying? No doubt. No doubt. So many people are in turmoil because of doubt. And when you claim this treasure, your doubt disappears. Who was the greatest man that ever lived? Well, according to Christ, he said it was John the Baptist. He said, of those born of woman, none greater than John the Baptist. I guess that includes all of us. All born of women. None greater than John the Baptist. And yet, John the Baptist was pervaded by doubt. It wasn't doubt on the periphery. It was doubt at the heart. He said, are you the one I thought you were, or do I look for another? He had doubt. And precisely when he said that, he was at his lowest ebb. And that's when Christ said of him, he's none greater than John the Baptist. Pervaded by doubt. Fortunately, he settled that question and had his head chopped off at a drunken birthday party in Arimathias, and his head delivered up on a platter. That's a whole other story. You can have full assurance. You don't have to be pervaded by doubt if you claim the riches of his glory.
Amen.
It's And then, of course, there in the third verse, which is our theme verse, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So here's a treasure, another treasure that is extremely valuable. All of this is available to those that will merely claim it in Christ Jesus. So the question then is this. Why does Paul select only wisdom and knowledge at this point in the book? When there's so much more, he's only dwelling here on wisdom and knowledge. Well, it's because of the forthcoming teaching that is found in the Beware section. Supposedly that which is wisdom and knowledge of the world, a vain and deceitful philosophy, after the traditions of men, and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I was hoping that Mike would bring this verse. I'm sure Mike knows that Mike didn't get this verse that I wanted to have pointed out. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And go down to the last verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. Oppositions of science, falsely so called. It's all part of vain and deceit philosophy and the traditions of men, the rudiments of the world. Anybody that's headed off to a university today needs to realize oppositions of science that is falsely called science. It's not real. The inseparable Gnosticism pointed out in the next 20 verses, the Beware section. That is what Paul is pointing to as truth and not fiction. Beware. I think some of you probably heard, I've had a lesson on this, beware. And I've always said in your Bible, when you come to that part of Colossians, there needs to be some crossing guards that come down and the lights start flashing. And then read the next 20 verses to see what's coming down the track. Because it's bad stuff that Paul's telling you to avoid. Second, the hidden life. Turn back there again to chapter 3 in Colossians. We looked at that earlier. We'll look at it again now that we're there. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 3. For ye have died, and your life is hid with Christ. Psalms refers to these as the hidden ones. Isn't that a blessed title? The hidden ones. It's only one time in Scripture. It occurs there in the 83rd chapter of the Psalm, the hidden ones. In Isaiah describes this place as a hiding place from the tempest of the wind. Therefore, hiding place for troubles and trials that may bite like a bitter wind, or the tempest of raging floods, or sickness, trials and tribulations. Yet we may say, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Even his word, likewise his word, is a place for the distressed and troubled spirit. Psalms 19, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Psalms 143, deliver me, I flee unto thee to hide. Psalm 27, in time of trouble he shall hide thee. In the secret place he shall hide thee. Not hidden and forgotten, but hidden and consoled. What an unspeakable privilege is here revealed. It is a quiet withdrawal from the strife of what the world into God's secret place. Why? Why is that necessary? Well, there seems to be two reasons. There is an association of the life which the believer has in Christ, that is in his body, with the mystery, which also had been hid, with an appointed time for manifestation, wait for the hope of glory, but no one had any knowledge of its existence. So Paul says that others looking at you, and you have no knowledge of that equally hidden life, which is nevertheless yours. You see, a treasure laid up, his treasure. Your life laid up, hidden. There you are uncorruptible, protected, untouched by Satan or anybody else. The hope of glory, his hope of glory, our hope of glory, signed, sealed, and awaiting the manifestation at his appearing. Also, the fact that our life is hid with Christ is a blessed, full assurance when realizing the attempts of the enemy to spoil and beguile us of our reward. It is protection of our spiritual new life in Christ, where we are reckoned to have died with Christ, been crucified with Christ, risen with Christ, hidden with Christ, and will be manifest with him. Life new, spiritual life new, security, future glory, a parallel to mystery. One other verse I want to look at before we end this. Go back to Psalms 91.
Visibility
seems essentially connected with reality. And is God a spirit? Yes. How can there be a shadow of a spirit? How can you go about fashioning an image or a shadow of something invisible? And yet here it is, the image of the invisible God. 1 John 1 declares that God is light. However, it's common knowledge, Einstein tells us, I guess, that light in itself is invisible. What is this shadow? Light? Invisible? Is it a new super something? An invisible shadow? Well, we know that Christ was the image of the invisible God. Now, in the Hebrew, if you go back to Genesis, look for the made man, the image, and so forth, the Hebrew word for image is to sell. It's T-S-E-L-E-N. That in the Hebrew is image. It comes from the root word to sell, T-E-S-E-L, which is what? Shadow. Therefore, the word shadow is the express image of Him who has all power and authority of things in heaven and in earth. The shadow is not substantial protection of the light so hidden there, or the treasure so hidden there. The shadow is Christ. Where His treasure is hidden, our light is hidden. And I'm telling you to break in there like trying to get into Fort Knox. No way, Jose. Except through Him. That's the map to this treasure. For every member of the body, there is food for thought here, I think. The secret place is analogous with our position in the church of His body. His inheritance. Not only in our new life in the shadow of the Almighty, but there is our eternal home and lodging place throughout life's pilgrimage, where we can have a peace that passes understanding when the winds of the trouble blow, and the wisdom and knowledge to be safe from a vain and deceitful philosophy. Until His appearing. Let's pray. Father, we thank You over and over again for this magnificent piece of work, this record that You have left us, that gives us a roadmap to all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge and the riches of Your glory. The status where we stand as Your inheritance. What a magnificent thing it is to be able to come to the knowledge. And we pray that as we depart from here, that we will all continue to study the Word, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of You. We thank You for the salvation